This is Daim Shabazz with the Chess Drum. It is July 9th, 2014. A couple of days ago, we just finished the 42nd World Open. There was a three-way tie for first. Grandmasters Ilya Shmirin, Ilya Nishnuk, and Konrad Holt tied for first with 7 out of 9. Shmirin and Nishnuk actually played an Armageddon playoff to decide who would get the overall prize. Extra $250, and Ilya Shmirin won. So this tournament will return to Arlington, Virginia before moving back to Philadelphia, its ancestral home, in 2016. And hopefully it will be another successful event. It had about 1,200, I think around 1,200 participants played in the tournament. So, like most World Opens, we had a lot of people there besides the 1,200 players, people visiting, it's kind of like a reunion atmosphere, and some players just came to visit to support their friends, and one such person was FIDE Master Elisa Melikina, who came from Philadelphia to support her friends while she's also preparing for the New York Bar. So I'd like to welcome Elisa to the show. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on the Chess Drum.
Well, we are honored to have you here. We understand that those of us who follow chess know that you've been very, very busy. You just finished law school. You're preparing for the bar. You have established a business, and we'll hear a bit more about that later. But first, I want to ask you, while I have this opportunity, to tell the Chess Drum audience how you evolved in terms of learning to play chess and why it has become such a big part of your life.
Sure. Well, I started playing chess when I was 6 years old. My dad taught me, and I've been competing ever since. I was used to traveling with my dad everywhere, all over the world. And I just developed that passion for chess. I love the competitive aspect to it. I was very self-motivated to keep going with it, and I think that's very important if you're interested in having your child stay with chess. That's really key. Because my dad used to travel with me to tournaments, I think there was this sense that he put some pressure on me to keep competing, but in fact, it's quite the opposite. It was me who always wanted to play and keep going. And when it came to those critical moments in high school, when I had to decide, do I keep going with chess? And that's usually the age when most people decide whether they want to pursue something else. I decided to make it a big part of my life. And it still is. Even throughout law school, I was competing and just graduated and still managed to play in the U.S. championships a few times.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I used to see you at the tournaments as a girl, and your father was always walking around the area checking your games. But I never got the impression that there was this pressure. Maybe some may get that impression, but I never got that impression. I think I even had a chat with him once. It was a very short chat, and he seemed very easygoing, and it didn't seem to me that there was this kind of overbearing demeanor that he had, but apparently whatever values he instilled in you seem to have worked out for you, and it's just really good to see that you've stuck with chess. But I must say that having followed you from afar and seeing that you just graduated from law school and you're studying for the bar, and I learned recently that you've also started a business, and I said, wow. I mean, there's only 24 hours in a day, so I'm not sure how you have time for all of these things, but can you tell us about the business that you recently launched?
Sure, I'll talk a little bit about the business and also why I decided to launch the business, given, as you said, I have all of these other things going on. So the business is sublight.net, and it's a portal for verified student sublets. So I got the idea for the business when I was interning in Washington, D.C. and then Los Angeles during law school. And it was so hard to find housing. I couldn't get any help from the school or from my employers. Usually they directed us to Craigslist, but it's very insecure and unreliable. I couldn't be sure that I was connecting with other students. So Sublet is essentially this exclusive student-to-student platform where you can upload listings for housings and then contact other students. And my business partner for this is a fellow chess player. So you see how small the chess community is and how valuable those connections are. Yan Ling Yan is the top female player in Canada. We've known each other for 6 years, first met at a chess tournament. She's studying business at Yale College. And we really hit it off, and the company is growing. She helped us find our tech co-founder, also at Yale, who put the whole website together. And, you know, we'll see where this goes. But the reason I wanted to get into entrepreneurship was because throughout law school, I realized that while I still had a passion for chess and also ballet, which was as big a part of my life as chess, I started dancing when I was six, and I still take lessons. I realized that if I want to keep doing that and also learning new languages, traveling, all the things that I enjoy doing, I really need control and flexibility over my life. And one of the few ways in which you can accomplish that is through owning your own business. So I thought that while I'm a student, especially at Penn, where I went to law school, has Borden, so many amazing resources, business competitions, professors, even funding grants that have really helped us along the way. So it's now or never to get this going.
Well, it's very interesting. I happen to be a business professor, and these are some of the things that we also impress upon our students to kind of go forth with their entrepreneurial endeavors. But many times it's it may be a lack of confidence in some instances. Sometimes it's a lack of resources, but fortunately you don't have a lack of either, and you're kind of moving forth on your dream. But I must also ask you that you finished law school and you're sitting for the bar. You have accepted a position in New York. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. In October, I will be moving to New York City to begin practicing at a big law firm in Manhattan. And I'm very happy with this firm. Penn Law is very strong for corporate placement and probably my dream job in terms of working at a law firm. I'll be working in the litigation department. And as of now, my understanding is that I'll be working in intellectual property litigation, which will involve a lot of media law, copyrights, trademarks, so things that I'm very interested in. And one of the reasons I went to law school at all, actually, doing interviews like this from a very young age is what inspired my interest in copyright and intellectual property matters. And I'll also be doing international work because I do speak Russian fluently, and that has helped a lot in terms of the recruiting stage for jobs. So I'm sure I'll be doing some type of white-collar investigations.
You know, it's interesting. I have to share this. Me being a business professor, I actually teach international business. And many of the things that you just said, these are the same things that I tell my students, you know, about languages and about travel and about you know, expressing yourselves creatively. This created a niche for yourself. It seems to me, and I don't say this lightly, and I don't put this lightly, but it seems to me that you would be the perfect role model for girls and boys in chess, in terms of helping them to inspire them, to keep them going, to keep them involved in chess. Are there any plans for you to become involved in mentorship with chess in the near future?
Oh. Well, first of all, I really appreciate you saying that. That does mean a lot to me. And I really hope that I can serve as a role model and that, you know, my story of trying to balance all these different pursuits may inspire some people who think that they can't devote all their time to chess and that means that they can't be good enough to at least stick with the game. If I can accomplish that, I'll be very happy. A few years ago, I was teaching for this organization called Nine Queens, founded by Jennifer Shahadi and Jean Hoffman, which provides advanced coaching to inner city girls. Had a great experience with that organization. Once I began law school, I had less time to be involved with it, but I'm always looking for ways to get involved with any type of mentorship or teaching programs. And I wish that there were more of those in chess. I know New York has a very strong chess in the schools program, but there definitely need to be more more organizations out there, I think, not just targeting elementary school students, but people of all ages, even non-students, could benefit from hearing about the stories of other chess players. And right now I'm involved in more, creating chess videos, writing articles, and I hope that at least in that aspect I can still reach out to people.
Well, I want to segue into another issue that you probably have a bit of knowledge about, and that is this idea of what is known as women's chess. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked the other day about the amount of girls that tend to drop off of chess. But I also think when I said that you would be could be a role model for boys, I also think it's important for boys to see women chess players who are strong, who are accomplished, so that they can have more respect for the girls that they face. Because I think that's one of the issues. What is it? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what is your overall view of women's chess in terms of these the gender tournaments, the gender titles? I remember the other day you said that I'm a women's international master, but I'm also a FIDE master, which is the one that I prefer. Do you feel that there's still a relevance for women's tournaments and women's titles?
Okay, well, yeah, a lot in that question, so let me unpack that a little bit.
Sorry.
No problem. No, I'm glad you're raising the issue because I feel like it needs to be discussed more in an open forum. But first, let me comment on what you said about younger men and boys needing to see women players in order to instill more of a respect among them. I completely agree with that because, of course, chess is a very male-dominated field, and if you see just a few female players and if they're not performing well, that only reinforces that ego. So it would definitely benefit chess a lot if there were stronger female players, like Judith Polgar, who I know is very well respected among all chess players, male and female. And so the question is, how do you accomplish that? How do you get more women into chess? And this is related to your other points, that do we need these female tournaments, female titles? Now, one of the rationales for those is to attract more women to chess, because even though, for example, the U.S. Championships is open to everyone, and not just the men, it just so happens that the men compete in it because the women can't qualify. So there's a separate event for women, and I'm happy to participate in that as often as I can, and I think it does a lot for women chess and does inspire other girls to take up chess. Now, I think if we view those events in that aspect, that we're trying to bolster the game as a whole rather than make any objective assessments about how good, women are, or how valid the title is in any tournament. I think as long as we keep that in mind, that would make those tournaments less contentious. I think they would be a lot more respected then. So you just have to keep the goal in mind of what you're doing with this. Now, in terms of the title, I've always wanted to go by the more general title. Female titles, they require less stringent norms, a smaller rating, and I just never really got the idea of a WIM. What's the WIM compared to a regular IM? So I got my FIDE rating to 2300 and I went by FM. But actually, I think that the WGM title is very legitimate and is very difficult to get. You almost have to have an IM performance to get a WGM performance. So that's a title that I'm actually trying to obtain. I have one IM and one WGM norm, and if I can get that, then I will be satisfied. But I would take it as you know, a WGM, it's not necessarily a grandmaster among female players, but it's just a title that signifies that you achieved a certain amount of goals and norms and performance. And you usually need a 2400 performance rating. So I would be happy just by virtue of the fact that I performed that well, as opposed to considering it that I'm entitled to some kind of elevated title because of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Judith Polgar. She had happened to have been one of my favorite players when she was still active. And she kind of disproved this theory that women cannot play at that elite level. I think she was one. She got to number 8 in the world, and she was 27-35, I think, was her high rating. We haven't had any other women to come along to approach 2700. But is there any, and I'm just asking you this question offhand, you may not have an answer, but do you see any other women who may have that potential to maybe reach the upper echelons of chess?
Well, in order to reach the upper echelons of chess, whether male or female, you have to devote full time to it. There's no question. You wouldn't be able to have a job on the side, or even, unfortunately, for a woman, if you have a family on the side, then it's really hard. I don't think we've gotten to that point in society yet where the man in the household can really take on the role of the homemaker and allow the women to succeed, even though I've seen it in business and law, and it's happening, but at a very low percentage. So I think until we get to that point in society, it'll be hard for women to reach the top of really any field. Now, in terms of chess specifically, you'd have to start by looking at professional players. So I think someone like Huy Phan, who has consistently shown herself, is maybe one of our next great hopes.
Mm-hmm. So I only have one more question, actually two more questions, and this has to do with just general question about the state of chess. We have an election coming up in Tromsø, Norway. I'll actually be there, and we have a contentious election between Garry Kasparov, who was former world champion, and Kyrgyzstan Ujinov, who's the incumbent. And that's if Kasparov gets in, then some people may think that will change the at least the path of chess. Do you see any positivity in terms of chess, where chess is going? Are you pleased with where it's going? Or if not, what changes would you like to see made?
Okay, I don't know if this is related to the politics or the election, but I really do want to see chess in more of a mainstream. I want to see players getting more recognition and it becoming accepted and respected in society in general, because the chess community is very insular, but it has so much more potential to in terms of furthering education for students and really showcasing the talent of players. So I do want to see that happen. Now, if I can comment on the election, I'm not following it too closely, but I have met Garry Kasparov previously. He used to host these summer sessions for top youth. I was invited several times a few years ago, and I thought it was very gracious of him to volunteer his time to help out these young players. He would typically look over our games. It would be this grueling weekend session, and he would just be very forthcoming about our games, telling us ways to improve. And I know that he cares a lot about chess and that he has a vision for it. And, you know, maybe it will take someone new to really push chess to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned promoting the promotion of chess and making it more mainstream. And I believe you're going to be playing in the Millionaire Chess Open in October. Maurice Ashley is pledging to do just that. He wants to bring chess to a new level of exposure and give chess the honor it deserves. I mean, these are some, I'm kind of paraphrasing you know, what he is trying to do. What is your impressions of such an ambitious event that that Maurice is trying to hold in October?
You know, I respect Maurice so much for going through with this event. A lot of people can talk about, oh, we need to bring chess to the mainstream and improve tournaments in this way, but you know, they're not the ones stepping up and taking the burden of actually going through with this event. So I'm very excited for it. I was one of the first people to register for it, and it gives me something else to look forward to, because the U.S. Championships is the biggest event of the year, but you know, you have to qualify for that first, which isn't always a guarantee. And something like Millionaire Chess, which from what Maurice has told me, will be showcasing itself as, you know, a luxury event. You know, he was talking about how they're going to be paying attention to all of the small details. He hired a comedian for the player. So all of this, just, you know, and also the fact that it's a norm tournament, you know, big cash prizes, just really gets you excited for the event. And I play in a lot of tournaments throughout the year, even norm tournaments, but this one I'm just very much looking forward to, and I'm planning on training for it very seriously after I finish with the bar in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm also going to be there, and hopefully it will be as successful or more successful than the HB Global that he held. And hopefully he will prove all of his skeptics wrong, and it will certainly benefit chess. But on a closing note, are there any future plans in chess? Do you have any besides the Millionaire Open? Are you just going to wait and see how your new career goes before making any additional plans in chess?
Exactly. I mean, most people ask me, oh, well, you'll be working at a big law firm in New York. You'll be working crazy hours. Does this mean the end of chess for you? But I realized all throughout law school that it's all about prioritizing. If I want to stick with it, then I have to stop making excuses and find the time. And also being in New York, I think will make it easier to keep up with chess, because there's things like the Marshall Chess Club right nearby, whereas in Philadelphia, we don't have that strong of a chess scene unless it's one of the few big continental chess tournaments that happen. But chess has played a big part of my life. I've kept up with it, and it's a part of my identity, part of my upbringing. It's very hard to let go. I've made lifelong friends from it. So I really do hope that even if I can't be as competitive as I once used to, then I can still play some kind of role in it.
Well, we look forward to seeing you at the Millionaire Chess, and also look forward to your success in sublight.net. I'm actually at your site right now looking at it. And so we'll be following your progress all along. And I wanted to thank you for your time. And I wish you well.
Oh, thank you so much again for having me. And I'll see you in October.
Definitely, definitely. Looking forward to it. All right, this is Daim Shabazz. We were speaking with FIDE Master Lisa Malachina, and we're signing off.